ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark Delaney Crew Wheeler, and I can't even say my last name tonight. Anyway, welcome again. Going to have a great show. We're going to talk about the boondoggle. It is only, and let me say this, 22 days in a wake up. 22 days in a wake up. 22 days in a wake up.
Boondoggle. Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
That is right. Go to yakangler.com, check out Facebook, the Boondoggle page. It's linked on the Kayak Fishing Radio Facebook page. And if you're going to be there or you think you might be there, please, please, please RSVP. Give us an idea of how many people you are going to bring with you. So this way we are kosher with that. It is, I believe, $18 per plate for the bank, for the get-together on Saturday night. I think that's about it. There's plenty of spots still left, the first landing. So we'll come one, come all. It's going to be a blast. I cannot wait. But like I said, it's only 22 days in a wake-up. So let's get right to it. And we're going to hit, we're going to go through licenses tonight. Everything that you need to start getting ready now. Like I said, it's only 22 days until the 5th of October. So let's get right to it because we've got a lot to cover. For those of you out of state, okay, you're going to need to get a license. I strongly suggest that you get your license now. You can do it online. If you go to www.mrc.virginia.gov, you will see the recreational fishing tab. Click on that. It's going to give you all your limits, regulations. I'm putting it up on the chat room right now. All right, and that's what I'm going to be going off of. Also go to, let's see here, see if I can remember it. Also go, if you're going to buy your license, go to www.dgif.virginia.gov. That's where you can buy your license. Like I said, do that now. For out-of-staters, it is only $10 for 4 days, I believe. Not too bad. So definitely go out and do that before you show up. You just need to have it on you. You don't need to display it. Tuck it in a wallet. You can print out as many as you need. And I do recommend printing out several. Glue them to the underside of your hatches and your PFD, whatever. You do not want to get caught because beginning of striper season is the day before the boondoggle starts. Opening striper is October 4th. It's a 10-day, excuse me. Opening striper is October 4th. Boondoggle starts on the 5th. So the VMRC guys and the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, the game wardens, will be out in force. I have a good friend of mine who is a game warden on the Eastern Shore of Virginia, and he has pre-warned me, if you do not have your license, you will be sorry. They are going to be out in force this year. So just a heads up on that. All right. Let's get right to the species that we could possibly catch and the gear that you're going to need. If you want to follow with me, go to the mrc.virginia.gov website. I'm going to scroll down there. Bluefish. We all catch bluefish. If you don't know what a bluefish is, you're coming from Kentucky, never caught one. A bluefish is a heavily predator species. They have teeth. They are very, very, very nasty. They will hurt you bad, just giving you an idea. I've been bitten by one. People in the chat room, I'm sorry I haven't got to you guys. We have LGB, several guests, Mr. Hammerhead Greg Chris, Mr. Mark Lozier, our Tuesday night host, our co-host with his wife, Chris Lozier. Mr. T. Morse and Mr. Yak Chum are in the house. I've been bit. Hammerhead has a story that he said once about a swimmer getting a chunk of meat taken out of their calf from a bluefish. Excuse me. They are gnarly. A lot of fun to catch on light gear. That's when you're going to want to use your spoons, single hook spoons, got your plug, stuff like that. Definitely a lot of fun to catch on light gear, like I said. All right, next thing we can possibly catch is the great trout, or weak fish, as we call it. I love catching weak fish. I grew up catching them up on Long Island when I was a kid. Had a great opportunity of spending some time with the, I believe he still has the current world record. I just forgot his name. Jiminy Christmas Trees. Mr. Mike Rooney. That's his name. Mr. Rooney. Great man. He passed away. Oh, my. 3 years ago, 4 years ago. But one hell of a fisherman. But he taught me a lot about catching weak fish and the rigs to use. Out here, your best bet is throwing soft plastics and mirror lures, baits like that for them. And that's pretty much a staple down here is, you know, soft plastics, paddle tails, curly tails, small bucktails. We're talking, you know, quarter ounce, half ounce, depending on your depth and how fast the current's moving. Tipped with, you know, a strip of squid or a curly tail, paddle tail, whatever you might want to use for catching gray trout. And they like deeper water. They like cooler water, usually. They will come up on flats every so often. But they are really, really heavy-duty crustacean feeders, if that makes any sense. They will eat smaller fish, and that's where we're going to that's how you're going to target them with those bucktails, the spinner, the swim tails. If you can use live bait, a small crab is killer. One of those small little greeny crabs work excellent, and that's actually what he caught his on. That was back in the 80s. Baits to use, like I said, the swim tails, the small buck tails. You can use live bait. Any live bait works excellent. Gudgeons, mullet, all right, the pop of cork is great for weak fish. But they are really skittish as well. So not as much pop. Not as much pop in circumstance for them. Another great bait is a mirror lure. The 58MR, the 17MR, they love darker colors for whatever reason, and that's my experience. So your 808, I believe, is the color. It's a Halloween color, orange and brown. Works really well on them. The dark purples work really well, too, especially baits with a little bit of a chartreuse in the tail. That they like to, or chartreuse somewhere on the body. Not a whole lot, but just enough to give it a little pop. Weak fish do enjoy that. And for the regs here, it's 12 inches, and you can keep one per person. We do recommend, personally, for the stocks are down on weak fish. So if you do catch one, and it is a breeding size, release them, take a picture, release it as a... it's like to see when you catch a 20-plus incher. It's definitely a great catch. All right. Let's see here. Those who are looking to go out to the oceanfront and fish, that it will be an option. We have out in the oceanfront around that time of year some king mackerel still around, depending on the water temps. And I've done a show on that. Go back to it. I did about a month ago. Live bait trolling. With a stinger rig, hook in the nose, hook in the back. That's basically the main thing there. And you're trolling it, a live bunker, a live bluefish, whatever. But they have to be 27 inches. You can keep three per person. That is That's definitely a good grill there. If you can get a couple of nice kings. All right, dropping down to one that we all love and strive for is Red Drum, channel bass, redfish, whatever you want to call it. Now, we are catching a lot of dinks currently. excuse me. A lot of fish under slot, meaning the slot is 18 to 26. We're catching a lot of 13 to 17 inch puppy drum. If you went a month ago, it was a lot of 10 and 15 inch puppy drum. So they are getting bigger. Remember, we still have 22 days. That's a lot of time for these fish to grow. They are a quick growing species. And again, everything that you would use for speckled trout, weak fish, will work on red drum. What's working right now, personally for me, you can hear me say it, Slayer, chicken off the chain. There are no redfish here, yeah. but chicken off the chain really works well. Goldfinger, that is, you're going to hear me say this a couple of times, that Goldfinger, F-I-N-G-A, is absolutely my top bait right now, along with Bounty Hunter and Camo. Camo more for trout, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Absolutely killing them. Just doing really well on them. You're going to want jig heads from 8 ounce, depending on how deep you are, all the way up to half-ounce jig heads for your little deeper holes or heavier current areas. I thought there were no trout. there are no trout or redfish in Virginia, just saying. But those are what the colors I've been using. Bucktails have been doing really well as well. Went fishing with a gentleman who was using fish bite crab and shrimp and just absolutely tearing them up. It was very surprising. Just how he was just repeatedly just picking up 15 to 16 inch puppy drum out of a school on a flat in Lynnhaven. It was just crazy. Just bouncing it off the bottom, and they would come in and hit it, and he'd be hooked up. I think we caught like 10 or 15 off the one school. It was just a lot of fun. But looking at another way of doing it is just your live bait or cut bait. We do have a lot of cow nose rays. there's been a ton of cow nose recently. I've hooked a couple on the wings in the past couple weeks. So running bait will bring you a chance of catching a big cow nose, but that is where I have seen some of the larger redfish being caught, in the channels, in the sloughs, on live and cut bait. If you wanted to pull a popping cork, I'm going to say this right now, buy some gulp mantis shrimp or gulp ghost shrimp, about 2 to 3 inch shrimp, and gulp anything is what you're looking for. Just killer. You pop it a couple times, and all of a sudden that cork goes and you're hooked up. I've been using a 3.5, almost 4 foot leader and dragging it along the deeper flats. We're talking 2.5, 3 foot flats. And letting that shrimp drag behind the cork. And you'll be sitting there, you pop, 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 and you'll just be sitting there, all of a sudden that cork will start moving, you know, in a non-natural direction. And there he is. I'm using a quarter ounce Slayer jig head in the 2-aught hook size. It gives them a second to get it down because that larger hook, they're not going to get it as deep. 9 times out of 10, and I just hammer them. Lot of fun. If you don't want to use jig heads with popping cork with that much leader out, you're more than welcome, and I've been doing it a little bit as well. Using circle hooks and then a quarter ounce to eighth ounce egg sinker on that leader or a split shot. Just keep it down. And that circle hook, he goes off, you just keep it tight and let him hook himself. It's been working very well as well. We also have an opportunity at the day this year. Last year, around that same time of the boondoggle, we had an incredible incredible big drum bite. We're not talking, you know, 20s or 30s. We're talking 40 and 50-inch drum, 300-400 yards off of the beach, off of Chicks Beach in the bay. And that, you're going to want 1 ounce to 2 to 3 ounce, depending on the current, depending on the depth. Jig heads, solid, heavy-duty hooks are a must. And we were using, I was using a bucktail, which is a regular curly tail trailer. I was out there with Kayak Kevin, and he was using the large gulp, the 6, 8, 10-inch curly tail gulps on a 3-ounce jig head, I believe, or 1-ounce jig head, just tearing them up during slack tide. A lot of fun. For something like that, you're going to want a heavier-duty rod because you are dropping straight down, you are jigging, you're going to want braid, and you're going to want at least 2 to 3 feet of 60 to 80-pound leader. I prefer 60 fluorocarbon. I bimini twist or spider hitch my braid into a double line, at least 2 feet of that before I tie anything else on. And that will be, that's my rig for them, and it does very well. It's a lot of fun. It's a great opportunity to catch one of those monster drums that you see us catch up here. So, excuse me. Damn. All right. I'm going to scroll on down here. Sharks. If you catch a shark and you're not used to catching them, please cut it as close and as safely as possible to the hook. There are still a bunch of sharks around. And if you do want to keep one, I don't know why, you can. Length is 54 inches. Fork length, which means from the tip of their nose to the inside corner of their tail, and you can keep one per vessel. All right. Sheep's head. I know if Mr. DeVore was here, he'd be getting all excited. He's really wanted to catch one of these big sheep's head. They will still be around, hopefully, unless the water temps change dramatically. Rigs for that, the same rig you would use for the big drum, because we do have an opportunity of catching a fish of a lifetime sheep's head here in Virginia along the Baybridge Tunnel. Mr. Choi, Rob Choi, angling-addict.com has a great tutorial on the rig. Basic thing. Again, braid, you're looking between 40 and I think some guys use 80 pound. I use 40. Down to a snap swivel. This is where I get one of those heavy-duty snap swivels. Some guys say they don't like them. I do. And then I use 40-pound, just plain mono, clear mono. I'll tie a loop on one end. That's the one that connects to the snap swivel. About 10 inches down from that, a dropper loop. You don't have to tie a dropper loop, tie a surgeon's loop. Just make a loop in the line. And then put on a 2 or 3-aught hook. Octopus hook, offset octopus, it really doesn't matter. Stay away from circle hooks. I tried using them this year, and it just didn't work well for me. I know some guys do, and they have a lot of success, but like I said, I don't have a huge amount of success on the circle hooks. Straight 2 to 3-aught octopus hook, Mustad makes a great one. Yamakatsu makes a great one, owner. And then the 12 inches down from that, I'll tie on a second one. But that's just that's me personally. A lot of people don't, because there is the opportunity of catching one monster and then having another one hit it. So having that flexibility is key. So let's see here. What was that? There's another hook on there. Then about another 12 inches down is where I'm going to tie another loop, okay? And on that loop is where my sinker is going to go. You're going to want at least between 3 and 6 ounces, teardrops, hook, sinkers like that are needed, because there is a lot of current. you are dropping it down near the pylon, so that braid is needed, like I said. Bait. Mussels work great. They're pretty cheap, too. You can buy them at the grocery store or harvest them from any of the pylons, as long as it says. Does it say you can't harvest mussels? Fiddler crabs, everyone uses them. They're a great bait. But the one that Kevin, again, turned me on to, which works excellent, are the sand fleas. And you can go down the day before. If you get here on a Friday and you want to do the sheep's head and the bait does look productive for that the next day, go down to the beach, walk around, take a bucket with you, a little bit of sand on the bottom and some water, and you can basically harvest all the sand fleas you want. What you're looking for on the beach is for the waves to come up, to go back down, and as it goes back down, you see these little Vs all of a sudden in the sand. And that's just a big colony of sand fleas. If you're bringing your kids, let them dive in there and start digging them up out of the sand. They're probably about 1 to 3 inches down in that sand. Just have them go to town. You know, it won't take long till you've got a bucket full of them. You're looking for the larger ones. I'm going to say 3/4 inch to about an inch. They do get larger than that. And you're going to want a lot of them because you are going to get a lot of croaker, a lot of undesirables, I guess. Personally, if you're catching croaker, you're in the right area because that means the biomass is there. But for sheep's head, you're going to put 1 or 2 to 3 of these really nice mole crabs or sand fleas or whatever you want to call them on the hook. You're going to drop it down the bottom along the pylons or around a wreck. And you sit there, just kind of jig it a little bit, let it sit there still. If you don't get a bite right away, bring it up a couple more cranks. They are a floating fish, meaning that they float from the bottom of the surface a lot. You'll see them sometimes come up right next to the kayak and go back down. So what you're going to do, drop down the bottom, nothing, bring it up. If you feel a tap, 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 you go to set the hook and you miss it, you don't have a bait anymore. Just bring it up, rebait. That's why having a lot of them is key. If you're going to buy fiddler crabs, you're going to want at least 2 dozen to start off with. I usually bring about 2 to 3 dozen personally. And out of all of them, I might get maybe 3 or 4 sheep's head out of it. So let's say you're sitting there, you got the rod tip sitting there right next to the pylon. All of a sudden you feel thunk, thunk, thunk. Okay? That's a sign that he's eating it. So you feel that, 2 hands, one in front of the reel, one in behind it, on the butt. You're going to push up with the hand in front of the reel, if it's a left or right, doesn't matter. With the other hand, you're going to push down to set the hook. They do have a very hard mouth. It does take a lot to get into them. So once you hit them, all right, bring that rod underneath your arm, do whatever you need to do. You know, start cranking and start fighting your fish. They are a brute fish. Try to get away from the pylon if you can. Come around, and like I said, fight your fish. They will bulldog you a couple of times with some really big runs. Get them in, kick them in, net them, do whatever you need to do. Unhook them, and enjoy your fish. I mean, you do have an opportunity of catching anything over 20 inches. We do ask that if you catch one over 20 inches, release it. That is a very old fish. I'm trying to go from memory. I believe if they're 20 inches, they're 20 years old. Big breeders, so we do like to release them. If you do keep them, that is your choice. But we would like to keep this fishery as viable as it is with as many big fish as we can. So release, please. If not, I won't hate you for it. Enjoy them. Great tasting fish, and like I said, the possibility of catching a big 20-inch, 24, 25-inch fish is not uncommon. All right. Spade fish is our next fish that you can possibly catch. Again, it all depends on the water temps. You will see them around, and I will be giving my secret away. And rig, any bass spinning rig, casting rig, medium heavy, 30-pound braid is what I use. with a 15 pound to 20 pound fluorocarbon leader, at least 3 to 4 feet of fluorocarbon leader is what I use. Reason for it is you will break off a lot of fish. And by having 3 or 4 feet, you're not tying on leader after 2 or 3 fish breaking off. It gives you that flexibility. Rigs form, and this is where the debate really gets heated. Some guys swear by red hooks. Others swear by small black hooks. Personally, for me, it doesn't really matter. Red, black, yellow, indigo, all excellent hooks, as long as they're one-aught. one-aught J hooks, excuse me. One-aught J hooks are great. Those are the ones I use. A lot of guys use circle hooks. But the J hooks have to be strong, but they have to be thin as well. So if you ever buy a J hook and you go to bend the tip or test the hook and it starts to bend on you, I wouldn't go with that. Personally, for me, the Mustad Saltwater Series Size 1 Offset J hook is the one I use. It is very strong. It's very sharp. And they're only like $3 or $4 for pack 10. So you're not breaking the bank. So another way of doing it is the shrimp jig heads. I know Kai Kevin uses them a lot. I think he uses like a quarter ounce, 8 ounce or quarter ounce, I believe. Red jig head. It has a real short hook on it, very strong again, and a definitely viable option. Bait, clam is what everyone uses. It's a great setup. Buy a handful of clams, get the spot, crack them open, let the shells drift, let the chunks that you don't use drift. Just a little strip, we're talking no more than an inch long, 3/4 of an inch tops, barely on the hook, send it back there. They hit, and they hit hard. A lot of fun, like I said. You will break them off because they are such heavy-duty bulldogging fish. And that's why you need to have a lot of hooks ready to retie. But my secret weapon is clear gummy worms. I swear by them. I don't know what it is. But I was on a boat with a buddy of mine, and his dad had a bag of gummy worms. And he was bailing the spade fish. It was off the third island. As we're using clam, we're not catching anything. Every so often we see him reach in his pocket and rebait the hook and send it back out there, and he's hooked up again. Trying to figure out what the heck he's using. Finally, we caught him in the act. He was using clear gummy worms, cut in half, with a size 1 or 1/0 hook. It barely shows in the bait. But when you drop it in the water, it turns that gummy worm turns clear, and it shows up, and it looks almost exactly like the main forage of spade fish, and that is jellyfish. It looks like a little jellyfish in the water, free line of bat, no weight, and it was tearing them up. And I've switched to gummy worms. Whenever I'm going out for spade fish, I always carry a bag of clear gummy worms, and they work. Don't ask me what flavor, but they work excellent. And for the spade fish and the sheep's head, you can keep 4 per person, no length limit for them. All right. Any questions? Guests? Anyone? All right. Let's see here. All right. Now we're on to one of Mr. Lozier's favorite fish, the speckled trout. They will hopefully start migrating like they did last year. Excellent migration last year of speckled trout. Now you can keep 14 per person. You can keep 14 inches per person, or 14 inches in length. Damn. 10 per person during the boondoggle. Again, same baits that you would use for puppet drum. Now, the one thing that I do change up for speckled trout is my colors. I really like, I don't remember the color combination for the male lure, but the 17MR, it's silver body with an orange or red patch underneath the where the gills would be on a fish, right? One of my personal favorites, along with there's one with like chartreuse in it. I can't remember it exactly. Really bright day, that chartreuse one with muddy water or darker water works great. Absolute killer for me. It's one of my confidence baits, along with the 808, which is the brown and black for dirty water. But that silver one was my key last year. And actually, barely even twitching it, just kind of sweeping the rod tip was getting them to hit. And again, anything that you use for puppy drum can be used for speckled trout. But for speckled trout with the Slayer or any of the other ones, for me personally, I like a real slow retrieve with a speed up of one or two cranks of the reel every so often. Makes that bait look like it's kind of skittering off. Thank you, Mr. Lozier, the CFBR on the mirror lure. Thank you. But that little increase in speed, I kind of attain that to the same motion as my mirror lure. When I sweep the rod tip, it goes from like almost a pause or slow movement to a faster movement. Again, hits that predatory instinct and makes it come in and just hammer the bait. A lot of fun. You can keep a bunch of them. They're excellent eating. Again, you do have an opportunity of catching a monster up here. I see some really big fish pulled in last year, and there were a lot of fish lost this past spring and winter that were definitely trophy class that I can only imagine are still around. So fingers crossed on that. We will get into them, hopefully, with that. Again, for the puppy drum, for a lot of our inshore species, for those of you that aren't on the coastlines and you're looking at your bass tackle going, what am I going to use? Bring your bass tackle. Bring your medium-heavy rods. You don't have to go all out. Buy all new gear if you want to. Go right ahead. We have some excellent tackle shops that will help you out here. Oceans East, Atlantic Bait and Tackle, Prince of Sand Bait and Tackle, all excellent places to get yourself rigged up. But your bass tackle, medium-heavy rods, fast tip, because you are casting lighter lures, are a must. Spinning gear, especially for the next species coming up, I do recommend. But if you use casting gear, you will have best opportunities. Mr. Lozier brings up a great point. Walk dog lures, your badonk donks, your skitter pops, or skitter walks, excuse me, your top dogs, I believe it is, for the male lure. Don't worry. Mr. Lozier says, can't type for crap tonight. Don't worry, I can't talk tonight for whatever reason. But walk the dog lures. For me, I go with the mullet color, silver belly, black back, the she dog and he dog for the mirror lure. Thank you. Silver belly, black back, for whatever reason, I like to keep it, try to match the hatch for the top water lures. It's just a confidence thing for me. Even though I'm seeing mostly shadow, I don't think color really matters in that sense. But walk dog lure works great this time of year. I know one of my favorite badonkadonks is the full black body chartreuse tail. Whatever reason, that badonkadonk color works great for me. But again, bring your walk the dog lures early morning. If there's cloud cover, all day long, walk the dog until the dog dies. Absolutely awesome. All right. I think I hit those pretty good. Now the one everyone's talking about they want to catch, the striped bass. This is going to be
Let's see here. If we want to catch striped bass, we need a good sound for that. Sorry. Oh, here it is. All right, the striped bass, the one everyone's been waiting for. We're going to talk about the season we're going to be into. See here, let me get right down to it. There it is. Chesapeake Bay fall season, October 4th through December 31st. And we had a major change in our regulations as well. And I'm going to hit that right now, actually. Before, or I'm going over the size limit. Minimum size of 18 inches. Maximum size of 28 inches. The possession limit is two per person. One of those two of your limit may be 28 inches or greater. Now, this is the change that from last year to this year. Last year, one of those fish had to be over 34 inches, I believe. 34, 36 inches. But this year they removed that slot out of there. So anything over 20, 28 you can keep as long as you keep one of the two. Okay? And it's going to be open the day before the boondoggle. It's like it was made for it. The opportunities of catching a lot of schoolies are there. The opportunity of catching a 30-incher is always possible. They're here. They're starting to move in. They're at the light, starting to move into the light lines as we speak. It is nighttime. Hopefully we get some good nights during the boondoggle so we can all head to the Baybridge Tunnel or hit the lights in Lynn Haven or Rudy. They're there currently. Or the HRBT. We have so many options to really get you your striper fix. but again, season will be open. There will be a lot of people on the water. So care will be taken in that sense. All right. Eight. During the day, sky's the limit, really. Bucktails. If I'm strictly fishing for stripers, I go straight up northeast on them. Throw in bucktails, throw in spoons and tins, throw in big swim baits, the storms, the 4 and 6 inch storms and bunker are some of my favorites. Throw in a bomber long A, old school bomber long A, beer can with treble hooks. Basically, when you find them, you're into them, and you can throw a lot of different things. Truly one of my favorites is the bucktail during the daytime. It's a confidence striper bait for me. The ones that like are on the mojos with that open mouth on them, for whatever reason, those are my favorite. And I tip them with the old school Josh's pork rind, and root beer color. Doesn't matter. I use white chartreuse and, yellow or orange bucktails, but it's always got to, it always has to be a Josh's, Uncle Josh's 4-inch root beer pork rind. I don't know what it is. It is my favorite Pac-Man style jig bucktail, but that is my absolute favorite. I grew up fishing that pork rind, and it's, like I said, it's confidence for me. What you can do with that, if you're searching for them, launch that bucktail as far as you can around the structure, rocks. That's why they call them rockfish. Rocks, structure, anything. You need that structure there. listen to the man. It has Mr. Moore says, listen to the man. It has worked for me every weekend this summer. Launch that bucktail around those rocks. If I'm deep, and I'm talking anything over 20 feet, I'm going to give it a 2 count. And I am using 3/4 to 1 ounce bucktails, big bucktails. I launch it out there. If I'm over 20 feet, I give it a 2 count. 1, 2, I engage the reel, and I just start reeling. As I'm railing, I'm raising the rod tip and bringing it back down, raising it and bringing it back down, and in a pretty steady cadence, reeling the whole time, okay? What you're doing is you're sweeping that bait right over top of those rocks, okay? Imagine a bucktail going through the water, and all of a sudden it scoots up and then goes back down, scoots up and goes back down while you're raising low on that rod tip. You don't want to give him a chance to look at it. You want that striper for that bait to come over top of those rocks. He's hunkered down on the lee side of the current, which is the back side of the rocks where the water's sweeping over top of him. Also, the thing comes, shooting out from over top of him. He sees this thing moving. It's got this big, long, flopping tail on it. Out of nowhere, he's going to slam it. And a lot of times, it's when I go to raise the rod tip again is when I feel them. That's when I hammer them. This is the time to pull out your inner Bill Dance, your Jimmy Houston. Just hammer him. Split his eyelids in half. Hammer him once, okay? And then I don't pump the rest of the fight. Reason is stripers have a large gap of real soft tissue between their bony head and their bony lips. And that gap can get worked open really easily if you start pumping your rod and creating slack. Okay, so when you bring your rod tip down, say you're pumping the rod, you bring it down, and that bow in the rod releases. That's slack in the line. Now you yank it back up. Now you're pulling on that soft tissue and creating this big hole. A lot of people lose fish like that. If you are going to pump because you do have a big fish, start reeling a millisecond before you start lowering the rod tip. Keep that bend in the rod. Keep that constant pressure, and you will get your fish. It is key to do that. But like I said, once I hooked into them, I barely ever will pump the rod. Unless I'm just trying to get them up the last couple of inches, last couple of feet, to get my fingers in his mouth. But if you do that, you're golden. If you're throwing large storms, stuff like that, I let them hit the bottom. I let them sit there for a second. Give them one or two count on the bottom. Click the bail over, then I start reeling. A nice steady cadence so I can feel a tick in the bottom. All of a sudden, if I don't feel bottom or a tick, I'll drop the rod tip. And I keep the rod tip when I'm fishing storms stuff like that at about a 45-degree angle. Because if I feel a hole, I want that bait to drop in that hole. Once I drop the rod tip down, I bring it back up, and I almost jerk it back out of that hole. What I'm kind of imitating is a bait fish coming over top of that ledge or in that hole, dropping down, realizing, oh, crap, I don't want to be here, and then shooting back out. Again, I'm not giving them an opportunity to really get a good look at it. There's something here. Now it's gone. I got to get it. It's the reaction I'm trying to impart. He comes up. He hits it. Again, split him open, and you're golden. This is the time for, those of us in the Northeast that still have the darters, the metal-lipped cranks. You know what I'm talking about. The needlefish baits. the bottle poppers. To bust them out as well. Poppers, walk the dogs, all excellent for stripers as well. Now, if we go to fish the HRBT, this is where I have a lot of fun with it, and I get to use all those baits that I've beaten up throughout the year that I've wanted to change out. What do I mean by that? If you go out fishing and you're using, Bass Assassin, okay, and you have a bluefish bite off the very end of that tail, and you got a little section left, save that bait. That is an excellent nighttime striper light line bait. So, save all your baits. Basically, what you can look for is paddle tails, curly tails, sluggos. Excellent. Oh, sluggos or hoagies during the daytime are excellent. But if you're going to use it by night, you're looking at the 3 to 4 inch sluggos. Get a variety of colors. Have fun with that much. At least flukes work great. But the way I do it is I use two different rigs or two or three different rigs. If I have them in the light lane and I can see them, then I use a very light medium action rod rated for like 15 to 20 pound line with 30 pound or 15 pound braid, excuse me. Get a spinning reel. And then I use about 2 feet of mono or fluorocarbon. Really doesn't matter at this point. And then to a 3-aught octopus hook, non-offset. I want that hook to be true, straight in line with the eyelet. I'll tie a snell knot to that, okay, and then whatever bait I'm using. Let it be a curly tail, a sluggo, a paddle tail, whatever. Reason is, that bait's naturally going to drop down. If I'm using a bait that floats, then I'll use a nail. I'll use one of those little lead stick weights poking in the body of the lure I'm using just to help get it down. Basically, power up. You see that fish? You cast out in the light line, let the current start bringing it back towards you, and just hold on. I use a heavy-duty hook, and I do use that octopus hook because once I see them hit it, I feel them tight, I hammer them, and I'm biting my fish. It's one setup. Next one I'll use, if I'm in really heavy current, or the stripers are slightly farther down the water column, I'm talking anything between, you know, top water is 0 to 3 feet, mid-range is 3 to, at the HRBT, you look at 3 to 6. But if I'm doing that, I'm using a weedless hook, weighted weedless hook, your extra wide gap hook. That's when I'll jump up my size. Those bait fish, it seems that the larger bait fish are farther down. And right there, I'm using a quarter ounce, the larger size, 4-aught, extra wide gap, with a 4 or 6 inch sluggo or fluke or whatever. I love that style. Bubble gum works great, especially even later in the year when the stripers have moved down from the Northeast, where they just ate the heavy worm hatch or sand eel hatch. That's what they're eating, those pink colors. those are my that's my setup, and I actually did the same thing I did with my bucktail, and I'll sweep it in and just hold on, because when they hit hard, there's no reason for you to skin hook it. I actually like that bait to that hook to be almost sitting or almost sticking up about, I'm going to say, a 16th of an inch above the bait. So I want them to hit it, and I want it to immediately catch. And again, hammer them pretty good. And that's where this is where I start using my conventional gear, my Canins, my Helios, baits like that, or rods and conventional gear like that. And I'd say they're on the bottom, or I'm searching for them. King Rat puts on here for striper, a small red jig head with a 4-inch white sickle tail jig is all he uses. And I can't say that is an excellent rig. Small bucktails, quarter ounce bucktails were great. This is the only time when I'm fishing for stripers I'll use a paddle tail or curly tail. But you're going to bounce this bait off the bottom. You have a great opportunity as well to catch your larger stripers. Those big cows, we're talking anything over 25 to 30 inches, don't like to come up to the surface all that much unless they have a reason to. But they'll sit on the bottom, and this is when you can get those bigger fish. Do you use treble hooks or striper? I do use treble hooks or striper when I am... It's the daytime, and I'm throwing my larger plugs. Our cows start at 40 inches. Well, early in the season for us, they're Greg. It kind of we like to hit the anything over 30 inches. Beginning of the season, you get a lot of dinks. Personally, for me, cows anything over 30. Beginning of November, mid November, Thanksgiving. Anything over 40 is definitely a cow. anything over 50 pounds turns into Basszilla. Hopefully we can get a couple people on some Bassillas. But, again, that's what I use. Bucktails, heavier jigs from the bottom when they're sitting there. So, start with that. Have an idea. Sluggos, stuff like that are excellent for the stripers. We'll do another striper show coming up, hopefully before the boondoggle. If not, I have more striper gear than I care to say. Everyone at the boondoggle should have an opportunity. Next fish on our list, the summer flounder, fluke. Personally, for me, 1 ounce Spro bucktail is my go-to with a 4-inch gulp swim the mullet or the Slayer Goldfinger. Has been working for me. It's been very productive. I've only been out once where I haven't caught a keeper on that. Reason for the 1 ounce is you want that bait to be vertical, and you're constantly bouncing it off the bottom. When they hit it hard, and there is no weight for it. That's an immediate hook set, and you've got them. People leave their brains at home when striper season opens. That is the God's honest truth. If we do hit the HRBT, there will be a bunch of us that are from around here there. I can tell you right now that the VMRC, the game wardens, and the local police officers will be around. They will be enforcing all safety violations. So do know that. All right, summer flounder. We've talked about fluke or flounder before. Hundreds of rigs, hundreds of techniques. We'll hit that next week, more on flounder. Hopefully we'll get Redfish Chuck on here. Talk about that. Tog. We have an opportunity to catch some tog. Again, the same rig as your sheep's head. Same baits, pretty much. But those have to be 16 inches and 4 per person. Oh, on the flounder, it's 16 and a half inches and 4 per person. There's an opportunity of catching some monster flounder this time of year coming up before they feed and head out. So it'll be good for everyone. All right. I think I've covered them all. If you happen to catch a sturgeon, you must release it. It's illegal to possess. Let's see here, see if I missed anything. No, I think I got it all. Black drum, I don't think we'll see any of them. But if you do, 16 inches and 1 per person. So anything over 16, excuse me. Black sea bass, we can have an opportunity of catching black sea bass, especially fishing around the rocks. You have to be 12 and a half inches. You can keep 25 of them. but unless you go offshore right now, or out past the first island and a couple of the wrecks that are out there, really not going to see a 12.5-inch sea bass, but you might. There's always an opportunity. What are the times? King Rat says, avoid the insanity, fish at 3 a.m. Very true. And Hammerhead Greg Krista says, what other time would you fish for stripers at? Personally, for me, beginning of the season, I'm fishing at night until 9 a.m. the next morning. and it's so true. Anytime it's dark or sunrise and sunset and the tide is moving is when those stripers go on a feed. I know some people say slack tide for them is the right tide or ebb, whatever you want to call it. I don't feel that way. I've caught pretty much 99.9% of my stripers on heavy moving current, almost like you're in, you know, on a fast moving river. Absolutely ripping. Those stripers turn on, and it turns into a feeding frenzy for them. And at night is when they go big. Stripers, you must keep vampire hours. and the bigger water does fire them up. 3 days before and 3 days after the full moon is when I've had my biggest stripers come on the beach when I lived up in Long Island, or the new moon. The whole new moon cycle turns them on for whatever reason. They come up higher in the water column, and that's where I'll catch them at night on shallow running bomber long A's. I love my bomber long A's. I grew up doing them, throwing them. All black or black back silver belly, or the all silver one with that funky rippling effect on the side, just kills them. When I'm working along jetties and stuff like that. But we all have an opportunity of catching some excellent fish during the boondoggle. So if you're coming again, go to geckangler.com/boondoggle and sign up for that. Also, go to the Facebook page, Kayak Fishing Radio Facebook page. There'll be a boondoggle thing, I believe, on there. And you'll be set for RSVPing. Mr. Lozier, remind me, it's $18, correct, per adult for the salty seas? So stay tuned for more on that. All right. Hit one more time.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
There you go. I just hit both buttons for the boondoggle. So please... remember, RSVP at the Facebook page or on yakangler.com so we can get a head count. It's $18 for adults, $5 for kids. And remember, the kids do receive for the boondoggle. Let us know how many kids are going to be there. There's a gentleman. I can't remember his name. I do apologize. That will be having shirts for the children. So please let us know. Cool boondoggle shirts for the kids. It'll be a awesome for everyone involved. I'm so excited for this damn thing. Dave Harper, thank you, Mr. Lozier. He's going to be doing the shirts for the kids. So please let us know how many kids, how many adults. Saturday night at Salty Seas, great place. It should be a lot of fun. I believe we have a live band for the night. All get fat and happy and then go catch some stripers at night. Sounds like a good thing to me. Let's see here. Kayak Angler's Choice Awards. We haven't talked about that yet. Go to yakangler.com/choice, C-H-O-I-C-E, and vote. You can't vote for any of us on the Kayak Fishing Radio hosts. You can't vote for the Yak Angler team, but do vote for your friends, your family, whoever, yourself if you're available. You can do it once a day, every day. Until the voting is ended. I believe it ends right before the boondoggle. I believe. So, excuse me. Please, please, please go ahead and take a look at that. It's greatly appreciated. If you vote, you can't win if you don't vote. Don't have your friends to vote. So definitely check that out. We have a bunch of different categories. It'll be a lot of fun. A lot of bragging rights, too. So, all right. One last thing is the TKA tournament coming up. I think it's in 16 days. I believe I saw the tally just a second ago, or the ticker. 16 days, 9 hours, and 53 minutes and 8, 7, 6 seconds. Still room, more than enough. Come on. It's the weekend before the boondoggle. Captain's meeting is Friday, September 28th at 7 p.m.
at the Lake Wright Conference Center, and the tournament is Saturday the 29th. Hopefully we have great weather for it. We had decent weather last year. It's always seems that we have some gnarly weather the day of the tournament, but we always do well, always have a great time. Lots of sponsors, lots of giveaways, lots of stuff to win. So come on, everybody, and let's have a ball at the TKA tournament, supporting How and Healing and Project Healing Waters. It's a lot of fun, and yeah, good causes. See here. All right, I think that'll do it for the night. I'd like to thank everyone that showed up, passed the word. Like I said, it's going to be a great, great, great time for everyone involved. My shameless plugs, thank you, Jackson Kayaks. I can't say this enough. Great company, a great group of people there. Congratulations to Emily Jackson for winning the World Cup, or one of the stages of the World Cup, and everyone there at the factory for taking the time to listen to the pro staff lose their minds. So again, go to jacksonkayak.com and check out some of the great boats and stuff we're doing there. Next, yakangler.com. There are our brothers in arms, I guess is the best way to put it. Ultimate kayak fishing resource, tons of info. Doesn't matter if you've been doing it for 20 years or just starting off. You can always learn something or teach someone else something as well. So definitely go to yakangler.com for a good time. Mustad. I can't thank Mustad enough. They're sending me a bunch of stuff for the Boondoggle for giveaways. So everyone should be all set with gear. Again, I can't say enough about Mustad. American-made hooks. What more do I need to say? I think that's going to do it for me tonight. Good luck to the Osarch crew. I know I didn't do my Osarch minute tonight. They're off of Chatham, Massachusetts, fishing for great whites right now. I wish them the best of luck. Stay safe out there, guys, and hopefully talk to you soon. All right, with that, I say adieu. Good night. Stay safe. Bring your PFD to the Boondoggle. Bring your children. It'll be a lot of fun. And have a great time. Until next time, we'll catch you later. Tight lines. Good night, everybody.